Good morning. We are in the midst of our On Your Mark, Get Set, Go sermon series here, and we are in the Get Set part of our series. What it means to get set, to get prepared, to be prepared to do the work that God is calling us to. And we've been asking this question. We've been saying that our goal, the work that God is calling us, is to be in the world, out in the world, making disciples, being witnesses of Christ. And so the question that comes here is, then why do we gather here? Why do we gather for church? And Amy talked last week about these three parts of how we come to faith, about how we come to maturity in Christ, and it begins with belonging to the community of believers. And it works into believing what we are talking about, to believing what we say we believe, and then last, to changing our behavior. These three B's characterize how we come to maturity in Christ. This week, I'm going to give you three more words to grab onto, and they don't start with B. But to do that, first, we're going to be reading our scripture. We'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. But before I do that, let us pray. God, we ask that as these words come in to our hearing, that we would truly listen. And by listening, we would believe. And by believing, that we would go from this place to love and to serve and to glorify you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. I had the pleasure of spending my Friday night and Saturday daytime hours at a swim meet. That swim meet, I got to watch child after child swim their hearts out up and down this 25-yard pool. Some of them struggling just to make it to the other end, and others powering their way through their race. And Serena, my daughter, swims on the Hayes swim team. And her favorite stroke is the breaststroke. And the breaststroke has a certain motion to it. And you probably know what I'm talking about. I wish I wasn't wearing my robe right now. It'd be a lot easier to do this. But it actually has kind of a three-motion rhythm to it. That rhythm takes, as your body comes up out of the water, your hands come in underneath you, and then they move out and spread. And they come back and do it again. As your body comes up, your hands go in and your hands go out. This motion of up, in, and out is repeated in rhythm over and over again. Those three motions are actually the three words that I want us to grab onto today. Nice, simple words. Up, in, out. up, in, and out. Jesus and his disciples lived this way. And I'll explain it here. First, Jesus especially, we hear over and over again that Jesus sat in prayer. That Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. This is that upward motion I'm talking about, up towards God. Second, Jesus always found himself living in community. As a matter of fact, he created community when he didn't have one, as he called the disciples to follow him. This fellowship in the midst of the community is in. And then Jesus lived his life in such a way that he was always facing outward, healing and teaching others about what it means to have faith in God. Up, in, out. But Jesus didn't just live this way, and he did. He taught his disciples to follow him in this way of living. He also talked about it a whole lot. And I'm just going to sort of smatter you with some scripture here. Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. John. So these are the passages about Jesus teaching about moving up. About thinking about our relationship with God and working on our relationship with God. Then, as we move inward, John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus says to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another, and he's talking specifically to the disciples there. Or John, chapter 13, after Jesus is done washing his disciples' feet, he says, just as I have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. This is all about the community of faith and caring for one another. And lastly, that upward motion, of course, is all encapsulated in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. These motions are the way that Jesus lived, up, in, and out. They're also the way that Jesus taught his disciples to live, up, in, and out. This upward motion is what we're doing here this morning, isn't it? This upward motion is why we gather in worship. Our scripture today started with these four words. Since we have the confidence to enter the sanctuary of God, we gather in this space to meet God, where God is to be found. We gather in the sanctuary and we approach God with assurance of faith. Assurance that God is faithful to us as well. What I love about the breaststroke analogy is that whenever a breaststroker comes up out of the water, what they do is take a really big breath. Right? They breathe in, take in as much air as possible so they can go and do it again. It's here as we worship that we seek to take a deep breath as well, to take in the Holy Spirit so that God might breathe into us the energy that we need to go out once again. And so we gather in this sanctuary, in gratitude for what God has done for us, for what Jesus has done for us. And we rely on the faithfulness of God, and we draw attention to the faithfulness of God in worship. And as our scripture talked about this morning, we confess. We confess each time together as we humble ourselves before the God who is faithful, because we so often find our faithfulness lacking. And so the scripture says, let us not neglect to meet together. Let us not neglect to meet together. Here in worship, we do just that. But it goes beyond that when we begin to think about what it means to look in, what it means to be a part of a community of faith, what it means to be among Christian brothers and sisters. This motion of in, moving in to the community of faith. This scripture says it's to meet with one another. It says to encourage one another, to provoke one another. Now, I don't mean to provoke them to anger. That's not what it says. It says provoke one another to love and to good deeds. That is what the community of faith is supposed to be doing. Here as a church, we gather together so that we might encourage and provoke one another in our faith. And so we do that here in worship. But oftentimes, I think that if we're going to really talk about being a community, about provoking one another, that we're going to have to do that outside of this worship service as well. It's not enough each Sunday morning to come in here and hear your pastors talk about it. Because it turns out that you live 6/7 of your week not in this space, not among us, right? But out in the world, serving and loving and doing those good deeds that we're talking about. That 6/7 of your week is hard to do if you're doing that all alone. And this one worship service just isn't going to support you in all of that. And so the church meets in smaller groups, in the Presbyterian women groups, in Bible studies, even in prayer groups. That is what we do in order to meet together and to do this encouragement and provoking we've been called to do. We have at this church what we call disciple groups. Those disciple groups are centered around the questions of what are you studying? How is your relationship with God doing? What about your relationship with other people? What about sharing Christ with others? How is that going? These groups are about encouragement and provoking, just as like the scriptures talking about. And these groups are important, but let me say that there are other ways to do this too. When we take each other out for coffee, when we go sit and just talk one-on-one about what's going on in people's lives in our community, we do this work of encouraging and provoking each other to faith. And this is not simple work. A lot of times it's confusing work, but that is what we are called to do, is to support one another in this Christian life. And I encourage you, if you don't have either somebody you meet with or a group you meet with, I encourage you to find one. I encourage you to find a space where you might be encouraged and provoked. Or I encourage you to find someone who needs your encouragement and provocation so that they might live lives of faithfulness. Our scripture says then it focuses us out as well. What are we provoked to but to love and to good deeds? To love and to good deeds. That is our primary calling. That's that outward motion. And what I, again, this breaststroke analogy works so well for me. Because the purpose of moving up and in is so that you can move out. The very purpose of breathing and gathering your hands underneath you is it so you can move forward through the water. Because without the motion outward, we would simply be treading water, wouldn't we? If our hands stayed here, we might stay afloat. But we wouldn't be moving forward. Not just that, of course, but you might not be able to breathe if you don't pop your head up every once in a while. See, we are called in this space to move up, to call attention to God's presence, and to move together as we encourage and provoke one another so that we might go out, so that we might go forward. That is the very reason that the church exists. To focus us up and in to push us out once again. And you might think that these are really three separate motions, three separate things. But if you look at a breaststroker, you know that they actually, the up and the in, almost come simultaneously. That as their hands move in, their body comes up to breathe. This up and in motion is all one motion, isn't it? We are called to community and to look, to turn to God as one piece of the whole. And really, that motion out is really just the natural occurrence of moving your hands in. It's all this rhythm of Christian living. This rhythm of Christian life is up and in and out. Up and in and out. And we do it over and over and over again. If you know, the other thing to say about the breaststroke is that it's actually the slowest of all of the strokes, isn't it? Like, it's the slowest times. If you watch the Olympics, you're going to notice that those times are slower than all the rest. However, it is the one that we also can endure the longest. It's the one that allows us to rest as we swim, to take in our breath, to relax, to go out hard, and to do it all over again. That's why Captain Matthew Webb, who was the first man to swim the English Channel, that space between England and France, back in 1875, he swam 21.26 miles using the breaststroke. 21.26 miles. And it only took him 21 hours and 45 minutes. But you see, that's just it. This up and in and out motion isn't about finishing fast. It's about finishing well. It's about swimming this race that is put before us well. And to do that, we need a whole lot of up and a whole lot of in so that we can go out. This place is where we hone our skills, where we work on our technique, so that we can swim stronger and faster and longer. We move up and in so that we can go out once again, all so that we might find here the faithfulness of a God, the faithfulness of our God who always does what he promises. Here, we learn to lean on God's everlasting arm.